Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you made
the There are topics that not every preacher will want to touch because when you touch it, it raises questions. But I've also realized that there are topics that when you don't teach it, people's faith in God does not grow. And one of the things I believe that is making the charismatic church very shallow and very weak is because we are always preaching excitement and not answering critical questions that bother the minds of people most. Last week, I went to visit my wife at school, and I was telling her that one of the things that is happening to me now is that the more I study about God, the more my faith in God is increasing. And I'm hoping that as we study this subject this month and next month, our faith in God will grow. I will encourage you, like I said last Sunday, I think it will be good for you to listen to this teaching over and over and over. It will help you a lot. All right. So in the book of John 4, verse 22, the Bible says that Jesus said to somebody that you worship what you do not know. And it is important for us to come to the place as a church where we can boldly say we know what we worship. We worship God and we know God. Can God be known? Yes, God can be known very, very much. And that is what we are trying to do this month. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, from this scripture, I started teaching last Sunday that we can tell who God is from this scripture. The first thing we see from this scripture is that God creates. He is a creator. And he created the universe. And he is uncreated. Why? Because anywhere you go, anything you see, you can trace from where you are back to where it started. You know, there is always a first cause for everything. For instance, if you come to this church, many of you were not here when this church started. I was not here when this church started. But from where we are now, 2024, April, we can go all the way back to the first day the church started. And we meet one person who started it all before all of us came to play different roles and different parts. There is always a first cause for everything. Nothing happens by itself. By now, you should know that this speaker is here today because somebody put it there. And the person who put it there probably didn't buy. So we go beyond the person who put it there. We meet the person who bought it. And if we go beyond the person who bought it, we will meet the person who transported the speaker here. And if we go beyond the person who transported it, we may meet the person who imported it to Ghana. If we go beyond the person who imported it to Ghana, we will meet the person who was selling it. I don't know where they bought this. Maybe in Holland. If we go to the shop in Holland where this speaker was bought, we'll meet the person who transported the speaker to that shop. We go beyond the person who transported the speaker to that shop. Eventually, we'll get to meet the person who conceived the idea of manufacturing the speaker. It was always one person. Because if we go back, we'll find ourselves entering the factory where this speaker was manufactured. But even in the factory, you'll meet many processes. You know, who did this, who did that, who did this? Because this speaker is a combination of many things that was put here. But it started with one person who had the idea. I can build an electronic equipment that is able to carry the sound from a place and make it louder so people can hear. The person who conceived the idea and developed the concept before he now went and sat down with other tech experts and people with technology, and people brought in all the inputs and everything. Somebody first conceived the idea, and that the person is the one who created the thing. You can take this F from where it is now and go back to Genesis 1 verse 1, and you meet God. So God is the uncreated. He was not created, but he created the F. And not just the F, the whole universe, because the Bible said he created the heavens and the F. And the earth is just one little tiny spot in the universe when you study about the vast expanse of the universe. So in the beginning, and it means that, you know, before the beginning came into existence, God existed. And he existed in a realm called eternity. Eternity means no beginning, no end. So before the beginning, there was eternity. Then the beginning came into existence to initiate time. Time. In eternity, there is no time. But God created time to regulate activity on the earth. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We also learned that the word create is coming from a Hebrew word, bara, which means make out of nothing. So that explains further who God is. Because if God needed material things in order to create the universe, it would have been a challenge. Because before the beginning, there was nothing. So there was a time when there was only God. This uncreated creator who created the universe is the one the Bible refers to as God. Everybody say God. Now, I want to talk today about the nature of God. In fact, I started last Sunday. God is a spirit. This uncreated creator, he is a spirit. He is not human. Many places we see the Bible say God is not a man. In fact, Numbers 23:19, it says God is not human. He's not a human being. He's not a man. He's not a woman. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. The word repent means change his mind. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Because in the spirit world, there is nothing like exaggeration. The spirit world doesn't know exaggeration. The spirit world doesn't know deception. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You cannot contact God naturally. You can only contact God spiritually. Because he is not human. This is very important because anytime you are dealing with God, you must understand you are not dealing with another colleague that you are familiar with, another human being you are familiar with. He's way beyond human existence. And that helps you a lot in the way you relate with God, in the way you worship him. Because you become limited in the way you deal with God when you don't see him as a spirit. A spirit cannot be controlled. A spirit cannot be seen. A spirit cannot be born. So you hear questions like, who gave birth to God? I mean, that's not a good question because we are not talking about a human being. Where did God come from? He's a spirit. Spirits don't come from anywhere. You can't see them. You can't tell where they come from, where they are. You can only discern a spirit. You can't see a spirit. That's why you can only relate with God by believing in him. Because if you can see him, you don't need to believe. If God says he's working in your life, you can't see what he's doing. If God says, I will be with you, you just have to believe he's there. Because sometimes it may look as if he's not there at all. Everything will be so negative, you can easily think he's not there. But he's a spirit. You can't see him. And you cannot limit who he is and where he is by physical manifestations. Sometimes he can be at a place and not manifest himself, but he's there. God is spirit. God is spirit. Number two, God is a person. He possesses personality. He is not a natural person. He is a spirit person. 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. They say, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. Then he goes on to say, for the spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So God has revealed them to us by his spirit. That first statement tells you God is a spirit. But the second statement says, for the spirit searches all things. To search require intelligence. It requires the exercise of the will. It requires self-consciousness. So for God, the Spirit of God, to search all things, not just some things. All things, everything happening, not just on earth, but in the whole of the universe. The Spirit of God meddles with it, observes it, monitors it. He searches all things, even the deep things of God. So God is a person. Being a person means he can talk, he can think, he can see. Being a person means he can hear. Being a person means he can feel. Being a person means he knows. So the God that we serve is not just a spirit moving about, not knowing what to do, but it's a spirit that possesses intelligence, self-consciousness, self-determination. He knows how to think, talk, hear, feel, move, and do all things. So the God that you serve is not deaf. He can hear. He can think. And he possesses intelligence. Intelligence that is way above that of humans. Way above. His intelligence is way beyond. That is why he's called the omniscient God. You see, omniscience, I think I'll be teaching about that next month, but maybe just a little of it. Omniscience means knowing all things without learning. Have you ever thought of that? You know, recently I was reading a documentary about the most learned person on the planet. The man has 7 PhDs, which he acquired through study, not honorary awarded PhDs, diligent study. But you know, that guy still doesn't know a lot, but he's very learned. But you know how he became that learned? He had to go through school. God knows all things without learning it. So when you bring all the scholars of the world together into one room, all the think tanks, all the most brilliant people in the whole world, scholars in science, in astronomy, astrology, scholars in physics, mathematics, accounting, business, all the scholars in history, in this, in that, in politics, in bring all of them together into one room. You will have a very, very powerful room. But you see, all their knowledge put together doesn't reach anywhere near God's knowledge. That is the meaning of omniscience. Omniscience means knowing everything at every time, happening everywhere. Because if God doesn't know what is happening in Australia right now, there could be trouble in Australia. Do you know that? If supposing God knows what is happening in Ghana, but he doesn't know what is happening in China now, what do you think will happen in China? So for God to be God, he has to know what is happening here right now, and know what is happening in my hometown right now, and knows what is happening in America right now, and know what is happening in the most remotest places, all at the same time. So we are not dealing with a God that needs help, that is weak, powerless, that needs help. That's not the kind of God we are dealing with. The God of the Bible is different from sometimes our perception of whom we think he is. And the problem is that you can only worship God to the extent of how you perceive him to be. You can only believe God, even the way you pray according to what you think God is. So if you think God needs bribery, your prayer sounds like bribery. God is a person. If you have sense, he knows better than you. So don't try to make a fool of him. He's not the kind of person you make a fool of. Number 3, God is light. God is light. 1 John 1 verse 5. 1 John 1 verse 5. He says, God, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I love the emphasis of John. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. That means not even a tiny drop of darkness you can find in him. What is the meaning of God is light? It means he's pure. That means he's perfection in uprightness. He's perfect. Perfection. Perfection means no room for improvement. God will not become wiser tomorrow. How many of you know we are all becoming wiser as we grow? Yeah, some of the things you think you are very right on, wait to 2 years' time. You realize that you were completely wrong. That is why the happiest way to live your life is be humble and keep learning. Stop behaving as if you know it all. Because in 2 years' time, you will regret for some of the things you criticize. God doesn't need to improve. God will not become stronger next year. He will not become bigger next year. God will not become wiser next year. He is the fullness of perfection. It means there is nothing negative in God. His judgments, his thinking, his choice, his decisions, his works, everything he's doing, you can't find one room for negativity. There is nothing negative in God. And that cannot be possible with any human being. All of us, we make mistakes. In fact, there's a saying that to err is human. But there is no air in God. When I say, I don't mean the air we breathe. I'm talking about error. I'm not talking about the air in the sky or the air we breathe. No, there is no error. There is nothing negative about God. That is why he's called the righteous judge. The righteous judge. God is judge because he is light. He can never make mistakes. God cannot make mistakes. Even if it looks to you like he made a mistake, God doesn't make mistakes. He is light. And once a while, he appears to people in that manner. In fact, the Bible said that Apostle Paul saw the glory of God on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light. That means when we talk of God, it's like not this kind of light. He is beyond the sun. He created the sun. But who he is, the sun cannot even manifest it. Apostle Paul was blind when he saw the light of God's glory. He became blind instantly. It took somebody to pray for him 3 days later before he could see. His sight was restored. 1 Timothy 6, I think we'll read from verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things. God gives life to what? All things. That means all things, all life started from him. Yeah, because he's the creator. Who gives life to all things. And before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Verse 15, he said, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So the Bible is talking about something, describing God and his nature. In verse 15, look at what the Bible said. The Bible said, verse 15, he will manifest in his own time. May God manifest himself to you. Amen. What does it mean to manifest? It means to make visible. That means move out of the spirit realm into the physical. That's what we call manifestation. And that's what I believe God is about to do for us in this church. Amen. I feel God wants to become real to people. Yeah. He will manifest in his own time. So there are times and seasons when God decides to do what? To manifest himself. One day he just appeared on a mount called Mount Horeb, a certain man to see because he had an assignment on that man's life and he wanted to use him. So he appeared to Moses in a burning bush, a bush that was burning, a bush that was full of fire, but the bush was not consumed by the fire. God manifests himself. Apostle Paul, he manifested in a light, which we'll see. Paul talked about, he said, unapproachable light, which no man has seen or can see. Verse 15. He who is the blessed and only potentate. You know, that word means a sovereign ruler. The word potentate means a monarch, a head of state, a sovereign ruler, somebody who rules over a territory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You see, because it is important for us to understand that God did not only create the earth, but he also rules the universe. And for somebody to be able to rule the universe is to have such harmony that the person ought to be intelligent. The person must have intelligence and make the right decisions because, you see, the running of the universe, there is no room for mistakes, for errors. For instance, if by mistake one of the stars fall, you see, we'll all be dead. So there shouldn't be a mistake. There shouldn't be a mistake about oxygen getting short on Earth. We'll all be dead. There shouldn't be a mistake about the Earth getting closer to the sun by, let's say, 100 kilometers. We'll all be dead. There is the need for that level of what? Intelligence. But can you imagine that the earth is rotating on its axis 24 hours every day? Not once by mistake did the earth have to rotate 30 hours or 20 hours. Have you seen that in any country before, any government that perfect? At least not in Africa. 24 hours every day it rotates. That's how we got day and night. It is on the basis of this that people can make predictions for the future, because 10 years to come, you can be sure it will still be 24 hours rotating on its axis, revolving in its orbit around the sun at that proper distance from the earth. Are we learning something today? Yeah. So the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, verse 16 says that who alone has immortality? Immortality means never dies. It means no end. That is God. That is the God we serve. He doesn't die. That is why you should trust him more than a human being. Yeah. He has immortality and he dwells in unapproachable light. God is light, but the kind of light he is unapproachable. God dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen or can see. You know, Apostle Paul was talking about his experience on the road to the, he said, you have no idea what happened to me. I was blind quickly. He said, the light was so powerful, it's beyond description. Unapproachable light, which no man has seen or can see. You know, one day, Moses asked a very important question in Exodus 33. Read from verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. May you find grace in the sight of God. That statement means you have. God was telling Moses, Moses, you know something? You have found favor in my sight. Wow. I pray God will do that for everyone here today. In the name of Jesus. Because it changes your life. It changes your life. Sometimes it is better to seek God, pursue God, until we can find favor before him. Sometimes it is better to value favor before God over and above favor before people. The way we are eager to please people, to get favor from them, if we can do the same with God, our lives will be different. We will go any length to please people. We will go no length to want to please God. But God said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Can you imagine the effect of the favor? The effect of the favor that Moses found is that God said, I will do what you are asking for. So it is favor that brings to the place where God can say, what you ask is hard, but I'll do it for you. I pray that favor of God will locate you in his own mercy in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. I will do what you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And not only that, he said, and I know you by name. I know you by name. I know you by name. It's not necessary if the president of Ghana doesn't know you. In fact, most of us, he doesn't know us. But you can still be great in spite of that. There's no need. There's no problem if people don't know you. You've never shaken hands with any important person before. It doesn't mean you can still not amount to much. But God can make a difference in your life. In the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that as you serve God and you follow him faithfully, he will do in your life what presidents cannot do. What other people cannot do, he will do it in your life. This month, I'm praying that God will grant you favor. In the name of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that he knows us by name? God knows me by name. He knows you by name. It's wonderful. I mean, that should be liberating. That should be encouraging. That should be exciting. That should make you happy. Verse 18. And he said, and Moses said what? God, now that you are talking so good, now that you said, you know me by name, I found favor in your sight, I want one more request. What was the request? Show me your glory. The word glory there is the Hebrew word kavod. It means the visible manifestation of all that God is. I want to see all of what you are and who you are. I just want to see you. That's a big request. Big request. I want you to just strip yourself naked and show me everything that makes you who you are. And this is very relevant to what I'm teaching, because anytime God manifests his glory, he appears in a visible light. We call it Shekinah. Shekinah is the presence of God that manifests visibly. In fact, it happened in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, which I'll teach about soon probably, has three parts. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outer court is in the open sun. So the sun lightens that place. The holy place is under a tent. So you have candle. We have the lampstand that has seven different candles. So the holy place is lightened by a candle, a lampstand. And God gave an instruction to Moses that the lampstand must never lack oil because it is the oil that powers. You know, those days, the lamps were like the ones we used to have in the village. You put crazy under, you put a wick on top. You remember? Okay, now. But if you go from the holy place to the holy of holies, there's no light, but the place is bright. It is under a tent. A thick tent that you can't see through it. It is always bright, but there's no light. Why? Because the glory of God lightens the Holy of Holies. Same thing happens in the first day of creation. When God said, let there be light. The Bible said there was what? Light. Read Genesis chapter 1. You will see that God created the sun on the fifth day of creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything was created when? Fourth day of creation. So which light appeared on the first day? It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God that appeared on the first day. It was not the sun. It was when God created the sun, he withdrew his glory. Now, this is the reason why when we get to heaven, I know you'll be there. Say, I'll be there. When we get to heaven, there is no sun. There is no stars. There is no moon. When we enter heaven, there is no night or day in heaven. You know why? Because the glory of God is the light in heaven. Wow, let's finish with this quickly. Let's finish with this quickly. Now, show me your glory. Look at God's response. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. This is God's response to Moses' request. Everybody study it carefully. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Now, that statement is very shocking. Let's read on. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said, okay, so let's end it there. What is happening here? God said, no one can see me and live. That statement doesn't mean the face of God kills people. What it means is that no human being has the capacity to see all of what God is and who he is. You don't have the capacity. Everyone say capacity. You know, I have a lot of illustrations too. You know, this AC is 5 horsepower. The energy it requires to power it, you cannot use the same energy for the AC in my office because the AC in my office is 2 horsepower. They have an AC in my study in the house. It is 1.5 horsepower. Now, if you put the energy through this into the AC in my house, it will blow immediately. Why? It doesn't have the capacity to carry the energy running through this. Now, the energy running through this speaker cannot pass through the energy that can power your radio sets in the house. How many of you still have radio, small radios in the house? I have one I used to listen to, FM. You have a radio. You see the speaker on your radio. If you pass the energy passing through this into that small speaker, it will blow. It doesn't mean the energy passing through this is a destroyer. Are you following? It is just that the smaller radio set, the speaker is built with a smaller capacity. So it cannot take energy beyond that level. The way God created us, we don't have the capacity to see and to know all that God is. So he said to Moses, I'll show you my back. Yeah. So God is light. He is not capable of making mistakes. There's nothing negative about him. God cannot get it wrong. He's perfect in his work. He's perfect in his thoughts. He's accurate, precise in everything that he does. And his judgment is flawless. That is why he is called infallible. God cannot make mistakes. That is why the Bible says nobody should question his judgment. When God makes a decision, you don't question it. Because he doesn't do anything without thinking it through and knowing the outcome. What a God we serve. I said, what a God we serve. What a God we have. Number four, God is holy. That means incapable of committing a sin. God is holy. He is not capable of committing a sin. He is not capable of doing anything evil. Let me use that word. God cannot do evil. When we say God is light, we are saying he cannot do wrong. But when we say he's holy, he cannot do evil. He cannot. Not that he won't. He can't. That's like, I can never be a woman. God cannot do evil. In fact, Titus, verse 1, verse 2, he said, God cannot lie. That's holiness. In hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promise. Because once he can lie, all his promises is useless. The reason why we can stick our life on the promise of God is because he cannot lie. He's too holy to lie. His name is so important. His name is a reputation that he will not allow anything to dent. God is holy. That is why if you want to get closer to God, you must be holy. You cannot say you are close to God when you are unholy. You do evil. You do evil as a sport. No, one way you can differentiate between people close to God and people close to the devil is that people close to God, they do good a lot. Predictably, you can see them doing good. But people close to the devil, they do evil things. I don't care how much tongues they can speak, how spiritual they are, how much visions they can see. That is why you don't judge people's godliness by visions or by spiritual manifestation. You judge people's godliness by character. In fact, Jesus said, if you want to know who is a true prophet and a false prophet, it's very simple. By their fruits, not by their gifts. By their fruits, you shall know them. If I come to you and I can tell you your name, tell you where you come from, tell you your phone number, tell you your problem, I hit you on the head and all your problems are gone. And yet, I'm sleeping with all the girls in this church, impregnating some, you know, aborting and doing all that thing. That doesn't make me a man of God. What makes somebody a man of God, and by implication, a child of God, is his character. Not when he's praying, the building is shaking. Don't be carried away with people's visions and how many scriptures they can quote. Be carried away with how many scriptures they practice. What you practice is the deal, not what you quote. What makes me a good pastor or a bad pastor is not even what I'm preaching now. It's my character, my lifestyle. 1 Peter 1:16, it said, because it is written. Be what? Holy, because God is holy. You know the word I am, it means God, isn't it? Then that's the name of God. He's holy. Turn to them and tell him, God is holy. He is not capable of doing evil. Anywhere you see evil happening, God is not there. Can I say that again? Anywhere you see evil happening, God is not there. You see acrimony. You see conspiracy. You see people call themselves God's God. They are planning how to do evil to another person. God is not there. Planning to destroy people. God is not in it. God is not part of evil. So the moment you take a stand to do evil, God has left you. So never think you can plan evil and bring God into carrying that evil out for you. Because you are what? You know, sometimes Christians, we are very funny. Oh, I'm going to destroy the guy. What he has done, I'll never forgive him. I'll show him. I'll destroy him. Then you bring God into God. Show him who I am. Destroy him. Destroy him. No. God does not do evil. He can permit evil, but he does not do it. You remember Job? God said to Satan, I allow you. I know he's faithful, but you are challenging me. Go and let's bet and let's try it. I withdraw my covering, go and attack Job. But God did not attack Job himself. And the reason why God even allowed Satan to go attack, because he trusted him. So sometimes God allows certain things to happen in your life because he trusts you that you will not fail, that your faith will not fail. So that's why you don't need to disappoint him. Be holy means don't be an evil doer. Don't be what? An evil doer. Be a good doer. Are you a good doer or you are an evil doer? Last one, God is love. That means there is no hatred in God. God is what? Love. Incapable of hatred. God is full of mercy, kindness, goodness, grace, and generosity. Anybody who is godly knows how to walk in love. We'll continue next Sunday. Put your hands together for the Lord. God is love. Godly people, they walk in love. Ungodly people walk in hatred. And try your best not to hate people. Bad and else, let's pray. Ask the Lord to help you to know him more, to know him better. Ask him to give you more understanding into who he is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we don't serve a dead God, but we serve a living God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.